Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is International Black Summit Talk Show Network coming to you live and in color. Hope you're having a wonderful, wonderful Sunday. I've been busy, excited, and most of all, thankful. Thankful for the things that the life has provided me. So I am, I'm just thankful. I am just going to say that I'm thankful. That's what I want to say right now to begin the show. This is October. We actually just had a weekend, a very powerful weekend, I might add, up in Ottawa. I was not able to attend. However, I did have some communication from some of the folks around what was happening and what was going on, and give you a little update on that. But one of the things that was occurring this weekend is the facilitators. This is the first weekend, so the new facilitators come into the body. So this is an important milestone for some of the folks who are facilitators of the conversation of the International Black Summit. So anyway. That's what I want to start out with. And then, of course, we haven't done the declaration, so let's go ahead and get that started. And we're going to be continuing a conversation of inner peace and economic development. So those are the people that that we're going to be looking those are the subjects and topics that we're actually going to be engaged in for the next couple of weeks. And we also want to invite you to be part of our website, www.blacksummit.org. And we've got it's a website. It's it's like a social media type website, so you can post things and put things out there, and let people know what's happening in your area, so that there are other people that are probably from the International Black Summit or who are just from the area who may be interested in some of the things that you're offering, courses, events, or you just might want to share, so that you want to hang out and meet some of the beautiful people that are part of the International Black Summit conversation. And it is a conversation. It's a conversation of power, of integrity, of yearning and vision and power and empowerment and lots of positive things. So we here at the International Black Summit, that's what we're about. So that being said, Declaration of the International Black Summit, we declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do but be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power. unity, integrity, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity, the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, empowering, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, and empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. October 6th, 2013, New York City. Above, below, and within, north, south, east, and west. And with that, a moment of silence, please. Thank you. So that information, and of course, you can find that information at the at our site, www.blacksummit.org. So just want to take a look. Check out the site. There's some interesting things on the site. There's some interesting people. As I said, not all of the people are there from have attended the International Black Summit, but certainly is an opportunity to mingle and to work with the minds. And we've got Berg, Henrietta Berg from Chi-Town. How are you doing this evening, my
dear? I'm good, Glenn. How are you? How are you? Ralph, I thought I heard Ralph.
No, unless he's on with you, my dear, I haven't seen Ralph.
Okay. Uh-oh, that means you had on your other voice.
Oh.
That voice you used to use a few years ago.
Uh-oh. Don't start no stuff now. Don't be tipping nothing over here now. Don't start nothing. There won't be nothing
all
now.
Right.
Hello.
Okay. Okay.
Yes. Don't get me started, girlfriend.
Okay.
I've had an interesting day.
Me too.
You know,
me too. Oh my goodness.
My, as some of you out there know, or may not know, my mother's getting ready to have a second thyroid operation, and girlfriend been running me crazy all day long. All day long. I'm like, but I love my mama. That's the
okay.
Bottom line.
That's the bottom
she
line.
Had me, she had, I told her I was going to get her some fish. So I went to the fish market, local fish market. And,
mm-hmm.
It pays to be nice to people, to smile and engage and interact. There was a guy up in the store, I picked out some snapper that they cut the heads off. And
mm-hmm.
I had gotten it the last time, but they were nice big ones. So I figured, what I was looking for was two nice big ones. So she can have one earlier in the day, like her lunch, and then she can have another one later on if she got hungry.
Okay.
And so they had a bunch of little small ones. So I picked up about five little small ones. And I picked up some whiting. I was going to fry up some more whiting, even though I'd fried up some Friday. I figured I'd fry up some more today for myself. Because I can't
mm-hmm.
give her that because that's got salt in it and so on and so forth, inside of her diet. And plus I'd be
okay.
garlicking mine down and she can't do garlic. But anyway. So the brother, the man at the store, nice young Hispanic man, says to me, "Oh no, you don't want these," and he empties the bag back into the spot. and then he points to some snapper steaks that they have. So, you know, so my man takes care of me, and this is about the third time that he said that to me. And usually when he, so I know from the first time that don't buy this, brother, okay?
Okay.
So I took his tip and I went with the sandwich thing. So I made these nice, and you know, my mother, God bless her soul. She said to me, "Well, Glenn, you know, the fish ain't been that tasty lately." I said, "Ma, understand that because since you're on this diet, I can't use no garlic. I can't use no garlic. I can't use no ginger, and all of those are really strong flavors with fish."
Mm-hmm.
She says, "Well, I know we got some herbs in the garden." So I said, okay, all right. I said, "Ma, I'm going to see what I can do. I'm going to hook you up best I can." So I went out in the garden. I cut me some fresh basil, some big leaf thyme, some small leaf thyme, and some Italian oregano. And I cut slits in the steaks and stuck it in there, you know, make sure I hooked it up. So I had, you know, two nice things, cooked that up, you know. I made some mashed potatoes for her and had some lettuce. So, you know, gave that to her about, I don't know, about 3 o'clock or so. So I'm running, I've been running back and forth all day, and one of my neighbors called me to do some stuff and, you know, back and forth. So I finally got a little break after he left. He came over afterwards and we had a little wine and talking about a couple of things that he wants to do and he wants me to help him with and yada, yada, yada. So I says, "Well, you know what? Let me go check on my mom. I told her I had another piece of fish, you know, because tomorrow's her surgery. So after 12, she really can't eat." So I go down there and I says, "You know, I know I gave you a lot of food before. Are you hungry? You want something else?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Okay." I said, "Well, you know, I got another piece of fish." And she gave me that look. You know, she ain't turning up her face, but she just gave me that look. I said, "You don't want the fish?" She said, "No." I said, "Well, what do you want?" "Some chicken." I said, "Now, how come you ain't telling me this earlier in the day? Now, you know, it's 6 o'clock. You know, I got to get ready for the show. I still haven't even eaten my dinner or my lunch." So anyway, I went out and got her some chicken and cooked it up and just gave that to her about, about half an hour ago. So she's, you know, some chicken, and I had some more mashed potatoes and cooked up some mixed vegetables for her. So she's good. So she's chowing down. But, you know, So you know, inside of our theme of inner peace and economic development, I look at who am I that my 87-year-old mother would make a request of me, and whether it was convenient or not convenient, that, you know, why wouldn't I do it for her? You know, who am I that, yeah, so I need to go back to the store again. Yeah, you know, it's a little, it's inconvenient, it's, you know, but the store ain't even that far. I mean, you know, you're talking about 5 or 6 blocks, you know. So it's, you know, what's the inner peace that you say that you are, you know? You know, and what's the inner peace that you're providing the people around you? So, you know, so that's kind of where that is how that ties in, I say, to our team in terms of inside of our inner peace. So at least for me, it does.
I like the two questions. you ask yourself, who am I that I, who am I, or who am I being in relation to providing inner peace for those around me?
Yeah.
And then the other question you ask, who am I? You know, like, who am I? Not to be inconvenienced.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't say it like that, but that's the way I heard it, you know. And I like those two questions, Glenn. In relation, who am I in relationship to providing inner peace to those around me? And who am I not to be inconvenienced? And we could add by a parent or by a loved one. No. I mean, that's really, really great questions I asked a 13-year-old today, what she thought inner peace was. You know, and she sent me a text. I'm going to pull it up and read it a little bit later on in the show. But she was very clear. You know, she had heard something somewhere, read something somewhere that she thought explained it well, you know. It was interesting, and like, it's interesting that the way it came is inner peace, but we're looking at it from the outer, you know. We're looking like the inner peace that your mom was provided outside of her. You know, like access to it, I should say, came from what appears to be outside of herself. You know, so I guess then the question becomes, are we responsible? You know, are we responsible for providing access to inner peace for others? You know, I know as a facilitator of the conversation of the International Black Summit, I stand there, you know, yes, we provide access to inner peace for others, I would say, you know. But in our daily lives, you know, who are we not to be inconvenienced by our loved ones? Who are we who are we in relationship to providing inner peace for others? Interesting. I almost your story, but just back it up a day. I have a niece who just gave birth to a 8.5-pound baby boy.
And, big boy.
Yeah. And we are, you know, our family, we're just like so excited about it. Not only excited, but responsible. You know, like I'm looking at how we take on responsibility. She gave birth. But it's our responsibility to see that she heals comfortably and that she can move into this adjustment as easily as possible. So what we're doing as a family, because she lives in another state, close by state, two states over, you know, we are on call. And we do shifts, and one person goes and they stay, and when they leave, the next person comes and they stay, and the next person comes and they stay, and what occurs is they are able to, my niece is able to relax where she would not be able to if our family members weren't there, you know, And I'm looking at responsibility, how, you know, like taking on responsibility as a family, you know, as a community, as a village for this new the entry of this new person into our family. And I look and I see, you know, how we're being about it and how we just like, okay, what day are you going? What day are you going? You know, and how everybody is like taking their turn. And when I went, and it's not like you're doing anything special. It's just that you are just allowing her not to have to get up and do this and get up and do this and get up and do this while her body heals, you know, that you can hold the baby or you can take the other child out so that her routine doesn't stop and you can fix dinner and you can wash the dishes and you can do this. And she doesn't have to do all of those things, you know, that she would have to do. And when I tell people about it, people are like, that's really cool. All families don't do that, Henrietta. And I'm like, you know, and I'm just like looking at it. And I never thought about it because we just did it. You know, we just moved into action. And one of my family members hadn't been, and another family member called and just said, okay, what day are you going? Just like, you know, and then they were on the schedule. And so, you know, it's like interesting because when it comes to inner peace, you know, we are in this instance providing access, as you did your mom. We're providing access for her, inner peace for her, while she adjusts to this new way of being, you know, while her family adjusts, her husband, you know, like everybody adjusts. And it's really, really interesting. So I'm looking at this deeper cut of inner peace that you kind of introduced, because it's like providing access for inner peace for another, you know. And I really hadn't looked at it that way. Inner peace, you know, always is like me, my responsibility for me. But as we both experienced this week, inner peace is also something that we provide, you know, for others. And it's like that random act of kindness, you know, just that sporadic thing that you're told to do. Like, go back to the store and get some chicken. It's only 5 or 6 blocks away. Go get the chicken, you know. And that, you know, provided her comfort, like going into the hospital tomorrow knowing she's got to eat hospital food for the next however many days that she's there. Or maybe she won't be able to eat for the next couple of days, you know. And so she can be satisfied knowing that, you know, like before she came in the hospital, she had 2 very good meals, and that her baby, okay, or her son, I should say, provided those meals for her simply because she requested them, you know. And when it didn't, and she even had the freedom to clear herself around how the food tasted. You know, and even make suggestions. Well, like try something that's in the garden. Try some of the herbs that are in the garden, and you were okay with that. That's major, you know. That's like major communication and major, like you say, like we say, ministers say all the time. Put on your whole armor, so that the little things, they just bounce off of you. Like that walk to the store, that 5 or 6 blocks, it just bounces off of you, you know, and then you can get the blessing out of it, you know, or making sure that you get the second piece of fish so that when she gets hungry later, she can have it, and then she doesn't want that. and being open to her not wanting it, you know. That's like, that's, it reminds me of the question, you know, being aligned with my authentic self and aligned with my vision. With, and I'm speaking, you know, like you, like if I'm you, my vision is to make my mom comfortable before she goes to the hospital. You know, my authentic self says, do what makes her comfortable. Do whatever it takes to make her comfortable, you know, and be one with her today. You know, just be one with her all through this process. Just be one with her, and being one with her is providing her the meal that she so desired. I think that's really great. And acknowledgement, Glenn, to you for being that. Like, who are you being? Not to be inconvenienced for your mom. That's so cool. That's just, like, so in the declaration, you know, like, so providing nurturing relationships, you know. Altering, you altered that conversation of who we are in the media, because if they say black men don't support their black women, you supported your black woman today. Okay. Okay. So you were like all in this declaration and this, you know, in this, as I saw my family, or as I see my family in the declaration, you know, mm-hmm. Declaring our community whole and complete. Like, this family is whole. This family is complete. And we can drive however many hours to do what needs to be done to support another family member, you know. And so I'm asking the listeners to go to blacksummit.org and take a look at the declaration. Take a look at the question this year. You know, we're talking about inner peace on the show. We're talking about the economic development on the show, and we're in an inquiry around it. And so tonight already, it's what's unfolded for us are two other questions: who am I being in relationship to providing access to inner peace for others? That's almost like a question, Glenn, a summit. You know, that's almost like a question for the year. You know, that's the way our questions come out. They just come out of our conversations like that. You know, and then the second question that came up for me and Glenn speaking was, who am I not to be inconvenienced by my loved ones? You know, and so I just heard a saying that most people say, I love so and so like family. Well, how do you love your family? It's a question. How do you love your family? How do you give love? How do you show love? How do you receive love from a family member? You know, and you know, when love is unidentified as such, you know, can you receive it? So there's so many questions that are coming, you know, coming up in this conversation this evening on inner peace and economic development. We've been dealing mostly with inner peace for this portion of the show, you know. And it's interesting, Glenn, because you're when I heard your voice, I actually thought you were Ralph. And Ralph speaking when you were doing the declaration. And when I heard you say New York, it was something about the way you said New York that sounded like Ralph, you know, like how Ralph says New York. But that's what inner peace provides for us. Inner peace provides what I'm going to describe as a lighter tone, a lighter, you know, tone. And it can be identified with younger. I could say younger, a younger tone, or I could say softer tone. But there is definitely a different sound to your voice. And of course there would be if you've been showing your mom love all day long, you know, through your inconvenience and through your vision fulfilled, through your alignment with your authentic self, through your alignment with your vision to have your mom handle, you know, have her food needs handled, you know, taking the time to talk to the neighbor. You know, I'm just looking at the day that you had, you know, taking the time to talk to the neighbor, to listen and hear, you know, what he's up to or what he wants to be up to. You know, those are random acts of kindness. All of those things are random acts of kindness that can be very easily could have been overlooked or could have been, you know, you could have been telling the story a different way, you know, and look what has come out of, look what has come out of it for our listeners. So, like I said, acknowledgement about who you are being in the world, you know, like being son, being man, you know, being provider, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, you know. And so that's big. That's really, really big. Back to you, sir.
Well, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Because I actually didn't hear all that when I spoke it. So that's why it's so powerful to have somebody else listening you and coming from the, you know, coming from and looking from where you look, you know, looking from a slightly differently, you know, with a different access point. So it was clear that you got a different access point. So thank you. You know, and the thing that I was on the internet looking up, you know, how I saw a conversation, how to achieve inner peace. Here's 17 steps. And I'm going to share them with you just because I do, not like an endorsement or that this is it, but just like, maybe this is the possibility. Maybe this is it. Maybe this is something around what it's going to take to develop that conversation. So anyway, I'm going to share them rather quickly, but I'm going to share them just the same. And this is a site called WikiHow to do anything. So I've heard of Wikipedia. I've never heard of this one. WikiHow.
Okay.
And so the council says how to achieve. So step one, be patient. And they have some other words with it, so I'm just gonna do like the highlighted version of it. So be patient. Step number two, soothe and replenish your spirit. I really yeah, felt something going on with that one. Number three, keep everything simple. Oh, my goodness, I love that one. Because I know how I can complicate crossing the street. Experience the current moment, you know. So in the summer, we talk, be with what is, be in the moment.
Yeah.
Try not to prejudge. Oh, my goodness, I'm going to have to do some work on that one.
Be happy.
Have pride. You know, be content. take responsibility. Be present. See beauty. Fall in love. Take your time. Take it easy. Be private. Be content. Be optimistic. So those are the 17 steps. Just wanted to share with you and our listeners. I thought it was just kind of interesting, how to achieve inner peace. Because the thing that I love about the internet, you can find stuff on everything. And I do mean everything.
Okay.
Some things that are better left unsaid, you know, you will find, okay?
Right.
My neighbor that came
That's
over
great.
Was telling me that he didn't use computers and not very literate and so on and so forth. I was, you know, I said, you know, I've been playing with computers since I was in high school, since I was about 16, 17 years old. I've been writing programs and doing different things with computers. And I really get the contribution that computers are. And so, you know, part of when he was over, we were looking something up, I started to explain to him a little bit about Google and how the search engines work. And he asked a question about something and, you know, explained a little bit about it. And so, you know, inside of the conversation of economic development, that those are the kind of things that we can begin to develop inside of our relationships, inside of our community. You know, because the fact that here's a viable, and I want to say he's in his 50s, that doesn't use computers, is about to get a smartphone that's going to have the internet on it, you know, so that he can begin to partake in some of the luxuries that are available. So I think that that's one of the training and education is one of the important pieces inside the conversation of economic development. I think that's one of those areas that that we as a community have to work on and work together on to make sure that we've got individuals trained in support of that. So just wanted to say that back to you.
Yeah. The University of Chicago always had a lab school. And lab school was from maybe kindergarten through 12th. Now I think they have and they may have always had one, but I just didn't know about it. I just remember people going there when they were 5 years old. It's always been a real higher priced school. You know, I'm not sure what the tuition is, but I know my guess is that it's well over $25,000 a year. Now, I'm not sure, and I could just look it up, but it's called the Lab School, University of Chicago Lab School. And I've never seen it before because it's always just been in the, you know, on the campus of USC, and, you know, you see the thing coming out for years, whatever, but it's, in, you know, it's just in another one of the buildings, and these are the real older buildings and whatever. But this year they opened a brand new school for the lab. And Glenn, you know, I love a new building. I went to 3 or 4 colleges because they built new buildings. For that reason, this school, when you look at this school, I want to go to this, I want to register and go to this school because you can just tell by looking at the structure, there's some technology going on up in there.
Okay. Okay.
And I am either going to be a volunteer. I'm going to do something at that school because there is it just I watched them build it. You know, they worked on it, I guess, for a year maybe, and it opened this season. You know, so now it's right across the street from the museum, just west of the museum, where we went, Glenn, to work out. It's just west of there. And so I see it every time I go, you know, I go work out, and it's real interesting just to watch and the parents taking their children, dropping their kids off, and the way the children are being. You can just see the kind of learning that's going on in that building, you know. And I say, I'm making up that there's a lot of technology, new technology that these children are going to have. The other thing is that, of course, is for people who can afford that. Or let me say, because I say everybody can afford whatever they want to afford. So I'm saying for those people who choose to pay that kind of tuition.
Yeah.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
They have also, you know, so that I'm very fair with the university has also purchased many of the schools, several of the schools that were closed in Chicago, and they are opening charter schools in those buildings. So they already have several charter schools under their umbrella. And so for people who don't choose to pay that kind of tuition, you know, a child can go to the charter schools for free. And I don't think the curriculum is the same. I don't think it is the same. I don't know. I have not compared the two. And maybe that's something that I will do, you know, is compare the curriculum in a charter school and tuition school that's owned by the same company, you know, or university. But there's, you know, there's just all of this technology. You can see it, you know. When I go to the libraries now, there's so many different things that children are doing other than reading books. You know, they're on the computer.
Oh, my
goodness. You know, they're on their little personal, like they look like little DVD players, you know. But there's so much. So, you know, when I look at economic development inside of technology, you know, that's,
you know, wow. You know what came to mind? These 2-year-olds on iPads playing with doing games and going to sites. 2 years old. They're on iPads
mm-hmm.
playing. And they know how to go to, you know, play their little games, you know, what's the purple dinosaur?
Barney.
Barney, yeah. I've seen this 2-year-old go and she went to, I don't know, Barney.com or someplace, and she's playing a game, and then she went somewhere else, and she had face-to-face, which is a video conferencing, so she could call somebody, see if they're
mm-hmm.
available,
mm-hmm.
you know, one of her
mm-hmm.
aunties or whatever. I'm like,
mm-hmm.
what? This is a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
You know, and here I am talking to this brother who's in his 50s, and he don't know nothing about technology and computers.
Right. Right. Yeah.
You know, so
sure.
I mean, so
yeah.
you look
sure.
at it, we, how easily we can begin to lose our edge, you know, if we don't take care of each other, you know, and support each other in bringing all of us up, because we're all affected by it. We're all affected by it. I remember last year we were doing that conversation of the new Jim Crow, and we talked about how the jail, the available jail cell prediction is based on the reading scores of Black and Hispanic children in the second and third grades. No, not children, boys. Black and Hispanic boys that are not doing well in school with their reading. That's what it's based on. So, I mean, it, you know, we really have to take note. And you know, one of the things that they're doing here in New York is that they're hosting a charter school inside of another school.
Mm-hmm.
So they're crowding them. So now you've got two schools inside of one facility, and
mm-hmm.
that one facility is already cramped, which
mm-hmm.
makes no sense. But guess what community they're doing it in? Just us, baby. They ain't doing
that
in the Jewish
here.
Communities and the Greek communities and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing it in the Black and Hispanic communities.
Yeah, they've been doing that here for a while. Like, they'll take a school, and like one school I know, it used to be Crane on the west side of Chicago. There are actually three schools in that one building, or there were. I don't know if it's still that way, but at one time there were three different schools in that building. And Phillips, Wendell Phillips, which was the school that many of the people who migrated to Chicago in the Great Migration went to Wendell Phillips, and that school has several schools inside of it. But they've been doing that here for a while, you know, and inside of economic development, charter schools can work for our children if we become one with them. Like in Chicago, you could start a charter school, Glenn, for economic development. And you could write up your program, your 90-day program, and make it and put it into a two-year curriculum or however many years you want it. If you wanted high school, you'd make it a four-year curriculum or whatever, and they would give you a credit. You know, there would be many. You know, you'd have to have the regular education components, but those are standards. But they would give you a charter for economic development. I could open up a charter school for inner peace. And so if we get with those programs, like they have charter schools for arts. They have, it's called Shy Arts. It's a high school for the arts, you know. It's like your Fame school in New York, you know. And it's a way that you can go through those programs through, you know, funding in a charter school. So it's like, getting with this charter school program is simply finding the school that fits your child's needs.
Yeah.
If you have a geek for a child, then you put them into one of those technology charter schools. You know, if you have a child who does better, you know, kind of in a Montessori, you find a charter school that teaches that way. And you get them in
okay.
it, but it requires the parent to do the research, you know.
Uh-huh.
And when I look
uh-huh.
at economic development, I'm like, that's what's being provided right now.
Uh-huh.
Through these charter schools, that's what's being provided here in Chicago. You just have to do the research and get your child into that particular area. you know, but you have to, you kind of have to do the research. So,
guess who we have on the line? We have one of our favorite educators from New Orleans. Welcome to the show.
All right. I'm happy because
the
Saints won a game today. All right, Glenn, all right.
Hi, Numa.
How you doing, ladies and gentlemen?
I am wonderful.
Great.
How are you doing?
We haven't heard from you in a while. How you been?
Well, I've been down underneath the weather, and I got to go back to the hospital next month. I'm hanging in there. I just wanted to make a little notation about the charter schools in New Orleans is very different and way back in the woods in the antebellum days compared to New York schools and Chicago schools. You guys up north, you on the ball in education, but us down here, we slow as molasses getting it together. That's all I wanted to say.
I wouldn't jump to quite that conclusion because I'm not satisfied with what they're doing with our young people here in New York City. Because, you know, one of the things that's interesting that I've noticed is that you've pitted the people, the parents. You know, some are for the public school and say the charter schools are taken away from the public schools, and then some are for the charter schools because they can afford to send the kids to those and know that they're going to get a better education. And so there's a fight back and forth about which one is better and which one we should be putting our money in to better support the education dollars for our young people. So even though we've got all these things going on, one of the downfalls of it is all of these schools being in the same building. And so now you're doubled and triple overcrowded. So it's we're still trying to work it out, brother, is what I'm saying.
This is the same in Chicago. You know, the statements that I made were just observation. Most of the people that I've talked to, most of like the retired school teachers and things that I know, they don't care for the charter schools at all, you know, because the requirements for teachers are different at the charter schools. And, you know, they really don't care for them. They're that same. The same thing you're explaining, Glenn, that's the same thing that's going on here as well. My observation was just like looking at how people are opening the charters and what, you know, like how you could take advantage of it. But most people don't care for them. Most people don't.
Now, what would you say about it in New Orleans? So is it favorable or unfavorable for the charter schools?
It's favorable because they opened up this area with all these charter schools. Charter schools, in effect, Glenn, is no more than redo over public school. Okay? And
like a restructure or a reorganization?
That's all it is, a reorganized public school. Mm-hmm. And they just put a different title to it, a different name to it as a charter school because look at it this way. This way, Glenn. You got public school. You got public school, parochial school, and private school. I was a principal for private kindergarten school. You know, Henrietta. My private school went under with Katrina, but there's a private school, public school, and parochial school. That's three P's in the pot.
Mm-hmm.
And the public school getting them. All right. My mistake. All right. But anyway, the state of Louisiana is giving buku dala to the charter schools, but yet they are giving 1/4 of the monies to the what you call it, the people that, well, I can't get this word to save my soul, but anyway.
Private?
Yeah, those private schools who want the vouchers, they're getting some of that money. And they're throwing a big sissy fit about these kids are getting a better education with the private schools, with the parochial schools, than with the public schools. Well, you can't win them all. Somebody got to lose and somebody got to win. See, I'm out of the loop, Glenn. And I look at it. I say, Lord, help our poor kids because they're hurting the kids. Not the teachers.
Yeah.
They're hurting the hell out of the kids. The kids need to be. See, when I was a kindergarten school teacher for 37 years, we taught English, Spanish, Japanese, and French. And those four languages, 3 times a week, 1 hour a week. Nobody had to go say, well, go sit down, you're making too much noise. Go do your ABCs. Go do your arithmetic. Everybody knew their place in that class. We had 337 kids, Glenn, at that time before Katrina. Okay.
Wow.
That's a job and a half. That's why I got a four-way bypass and 2 strokes behind all this mess. don't laugh, Henrietta. You know it. You know it. But anyway, I done my duty. And I got to tell y'all this. Oh, excuse me. I know time is going to get short. The new federal prosecutor from the federal government, nominated by Barack Obama, is one of my kindergarten school graduates.
Congratulations.
He got his PhD from Princeton and his law degree from Princeton. Now he's the top black federal prosecutor for the Southeastern District of Louisiana. His name is Kenneth Polite. And
congratulations.
I'm so proud of that young man because I used to stay on top. I used to ride him like a horse.
Oh, that's so nice. That's
I had to ride him
nice.
Like a horse, Glenn.
You have to call him. You got to contact him.
I'm trying to say is this. Without that basic, this goes the whole spectrum. Without the basic foundation, if the child has a Montessori, if she or he likes the Montessori method and can do it, let that child go for it. Don't hold the child back.
That's what
If you hold the child back, you're stifling that kid. Let that child go. Experience what life is all about. You know, not with the drugs and the guns and the gang wars and all. But if you got control over your classroom, if you got control over your school, then you got control over the community. Because where it begins with you, the student in the classroom, the teacher in the classroom. That teacher has the control over that student. If you don't have no control, you're lost. You lost the whole shooting match. Excuse the French.
Mr. New Orleans, it sounds like a book to me. It sounds like a manual.
Don't push it too hard.
Sounds like a manual. I see you flying around teaching teachers how to teach.
Well, I just hope I can get my ideas on paper before I croak, because I would like to go up there and see Barack Obama and give him a piece of my mind and what to do or not to do with these kids in the United States. Because, you see, we have fallen backwards.
But maybe through the gentleman now who's over southeastern Louisiana, maybe you'll be able to do it.
Right. I got 2 PhD degrees, kids from Dillard University, that's supposed to be writing 2 proposals for the kindergarten school because of my status as a Vietnam veteran and my status as a 100% disabled Vietnam veteran. The VA is supposed to kick in a couple of billions of dollars to restart up businesses for the Vietnam veterans. And if I get those two proposals down underneath my belt, look out, Barack, push over.
Economic
okay.
development.
Okay.
That's what we're talking about.
I'll get Glenn as the what you call that, the security guard.
That's right. I'll back you up, brother.
Okay.
Look. Well, I tell you what. Well, look, go ahead and do what y'all got to do. I'm gonna be listening for the rest of the season. I'm back on the saddle. I lost my notes. That's why I just found my notes. I said, God, man, Henrietta gonna beat my tail. I just get to
thank
I forgot,
you.
I forgot all about. And I said, God, dog it. I knocked over a cup of coffee to get to the phone. I said, God, dog it, they gone. Well, y'all gotta
thank
call
you.
Me sometime.
We're glad that you're back.
I'm still the same crazy as ever, you know. Still,
yeah,
still,
Glenn, jot down that number.
504.
For me.
504.
Wait,
okay,
hold
on, I'm ready.
Let me hear.
504-309-5986.
Okay. All righty. Well, thank you so much for reconnecting with us. We missed you.
Oh, no.
So much.
I'm right here in the background listening, but I'd say, well, yeah, let Glenn go and run his head.
Well, and the conversation is just so perfect because we're talking about economic development and we're talking about peace. We talked about inner peace the first 30 minutes. And then we moved into economic development inside of technology, inside of education. So
right.
this is just perfect. And that's the topic we'll be on for the next few weeks. So, you know, join us, everyone, next Sunday because we are our time is up for tonight. You know, but join us next Sunday as we continue distinguishing economic development inside.
I got to tell you one more thing. My 50-year class mm-hmm. reunion is this Saturday coming.
Oh my
oh,
God, that's good.
50 years ago,
that's
I finished
good.
High school.
Okay.
So you know, y'all got the number. Y'all do the dialing.
Okay.
All right.
Love you, New.
All right, Henrietta.
Okay.
Peace and love.
Yes, ma'am.
We're gonna wrap this session up for tonight. We love you as always. Please join us 8 to 9 p.m. We're gonna also be featuring some new shows coming up, and we'll be unveiling some of those in upcoming weeks. But for now, we're talking about inner peace and economic development, and I've got a economic development summit coming up in Southeast Queens. That I'm manning
okay.
the wheels on. So, you know, I'll give some information about that next week.
Okay.
Back
to you.
And Glenn, I have an inner peace workshop this Saturday in Chicago at the Grand Ballroom from 10
okay.
to 2.
Okay.
In Chicago, 10 to 2. So, Sacred Communication is the name of the workshop. So, we'll see you next Sunday. God bless. We love you much, and thanks for being with us. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, and God bless.